there now, so you can't go far. That helps. Good morning! Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Kirkin Sunday. You are in for quite a treat. But we first want to welcome you, whether you've been a member here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us. We're glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Your bulletin has announcements, also calendars. There'll be an elder standing at the communion table following worship. Any questions you might have? We are celebrating communion as well this morning. We will be celebrating by intinction. So just a reminder that you will, when invited, go to the nearest station. And just like being on an airplane, sometimes that could be right behind you. So just take a look. You will take a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and partake individually. If there are any mobility concerns, our communion servers will also wander around. Just make sure you flag someone down. They'll be happy to celebrate the sacrament with you. We have just a few announcements this morning. First, all of those who are excited about summer and all the great music opportunities that come with it, there is a sign up on the kiosk if you'd love to share any kind of musical talent this summer, choose a Sunday. Also, on this Kirkin of the Tartan Sunday, as we celebrate our Presbyterian heritage, we also recognize that with that privilege comes responsibility. And if you would, in your bulletins, there are per capita envelopes. Please, if you have not already done so, make sure that your per capita, you see the amount there, that is per member, and that's in addition to any giving that you would like to do this morning. And a final announcement, next Sunday is Children's Sunday, another one you don't want to miss. Families, if you have kids who are helping lead worship, please be here at 9:30 in the morning. And I got a little note from Tom on his per capita envelope. Tom, don't you need this? Okay. Just an announcement that we still do need help for our guests who are coming from Guatemala. We need homes to house folks, food, setup. Check the kiosk. Lots of great opportunities. A quick announcement this morning about the flea market yesterday. Very quick. I know.
Good morning. We had another fabulous flea market yesterday. And God gave us two beautiful days. And on the third day it rained. I can't get through this without saying thank yous like I did last year, but not like I did last year. This is going to be much quicker. To all who participated as vendors, volunteers, or those of you who just came to shop and browse, thank you. Four men in a truck. What would we do without them? Buzz, Ed, Roger, Gordon, for moving all the bookcases and tables. Linda Beatty, Jack Beatty, Bill Grimes, Jim and Sue Poole, Larry Wakeman, Beth Molina, for all the outside setup, and we sure could have used more people, by the way. Team members, Dorothy Munt and her booksellers, Mary Hughes and her plant sellers, Betty Blystone and her food sellers, or her baked food sellers, Bill DeCero and Katie, of course, and all their amazing senior high youth for all the food prep, serving, selling. They are the best. Most of all, we all need to thank Beth and Rachel Molina, because without them stepping up and volunteering as co-chairs this year, there would not have been a flea market. I really appreciate it. Couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
Bottom line, $2,250 were made for the church, and it's a little less than last year, but we have some tips and tricks for next year, and it'll happen again. Thanks all.
Thank you. Thank you both to Ginny and Beth for all their hard work making the flea market a success. All right, grab your kilts. Let's worship God. the Rochester Scottish Pipe and Drums and also the Rochester Scottish Heritage Society for celebrating with us. The Kirkin of the Tartan is a North American tradition but goes far back into Scottish history. The Scots have always had strong Christian convictions, whether that be Catholic or Protestant, and have always observed Sundays as the Lord's Day of rest and worship. And this was the day when the Sunday or dress kilt was worn, a fine quality of wool than the everyday kilts. And because of the significance of the family tartan in helping to unite the clans, in the old days, special events were held every year. And the clansmen would gather and dress in their finest tartans and rededicate themselves to the service of God, to give thanks for God's watchful care over them during the year. And this morning, what a great opportunity we have to remember our family and our Scottish heritage, as we call the clans. Where'd he go? There you are. The Sea of Plaid.
Good morning. My name is Craig Barkley. On behalf of the Rochester Scottish Heritage Society, we certainly thank you for having us here this morning. What I'm going to do is call the list of clans. I'm going to do this relatively quickly, but if you hear your clan name you might be affiliated with, please stand if able, and at the end, most if not all of you will be standing. So I'm going to begin with the list here. So Clan Anderson, Armstrong, Barclay, Bell, Beaton, Fraser, Burns, Bruce, Buchanan, Carr, Cameron, Campbell, Chatton, Chisholm, Crawford, Cumming, Davidson, Donald, Douglas, Drummond, Dunbar, Elliott, Farquharson, Ferguson, Fife, Fletcher, Forbes, Graham, Gordon, Gunn, Grant, Hamilton, Henderson, Holmes, Hall, Keith, Kerr, Johnson, Johnston, Lamont, Leslie, Lambert, Lawson, Lawrence, Lindsay, MacArthur, McCafferty, I know there's somebody here, McCall, McCollum, McLaren, McClure, McDougall, McDuff, McIntyre, McIntosh, McGregor, McVean, McKay, McCall, McKenzie, McKinnon, McNeil, McFarlane, McLeod, Matheson, McMillan, McNaughton, McPherson, McMasters, McPhee, Malcolm, Martin, Maxwell, McQueen, Menzies, Moffat, Moncrief, Monroe, Morrison, Murray, Phillips, Ramsey, Ross, Robertson, Rowe, Rose, Scott. Does that mean I don't have to say Scolaire? You guys stood already? Sexton, Shaw, Sinclair, Smith, Stewart, Thurston, Thompson, Sutherland, Walker, Wallace, Watson, Webster, Windsor, Young, and Clandia, which stands for Family of God, which would be everybody else. Thank you.
Please stand or remain standing for the call to worship. O come, let us worship and praise the Lord our God. For the Lord our God has worked through the lives of women and men, clans and families, to grant us a great legacy of faith. The Lord our God is with us today, as God has been present with God's people in the past and will be present with us in the future. May our worship proclaim there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of us all. Praise be to God.
may be seated. We come singing the praises of God, and in doing so, we also recognize where we have fallen short. Let us bring our prayers of confession to God and one another. We confess, O God, that the burdens which weigh us down also narrow our vision. Fear of scarcity makes us focus on our own survival. We regard strangers with suspicion and find it difficult to share. We speak words that we regret and keep silent when we need to speak. Weariness and discouragement sap our energy and our faith. We wonder how there could be good news that is not of our own making. We, whom you call to be an Easter people, are in need of resurrection. In the person of Jesus, God invites us to discover the freedom and new life that God offers us. God's forgiveness heals us. God's grace dispels our weariness and discouragement. God's love clears our vision. God's compassion lifts our burdens. We are made new.
Thanks be to God.
Would the children please come forward? All right, we're going
going to stay standing, so why don't you guys come with me over here? Because we have something different going on in worship today, don't we? Oh, my goodness. Okay. And I also know... Good morning, friends. Hi. Most of you all have something pretty important going on during worship, the rest of worship. You guys have a lot of practicing to do before next Sunday, don't you? Yeah. So we're going to keep it short. So what did you notice that was different at the start of worship this morning? Yes. What else did you see that was different? These great folks over here. And how about over there, too, from the Rochester Scottish Heritage Society? We have a chance this morning to celebrate how, as Presbyterians, we have this great Scottish history. And you'll notice some of us even are wearing our tartan, right? So in Scotland, this plaid and the colors tell us what clan or family you're from. And you can see down here some of the last names of those clans. But did you notice when we called all the clan names this early in worship, what we did at the very end of that, what did we say? Did anyone notice? What was the last clan we called? You remember? You forgot? Does anyone remember? The family of God, which we all are part of and get to give thanks for. And so this morning we celebrate not only the individual families that we come from, but also that we're all part of the family of God. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, thank you for making us part of your family. Amen. All right, good luck practicing, you guys.
Be seated. Singing the first reading of the word and now hearing the second. From the Gospel of Luke. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And Jesus' disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the kind of story in the Bible that I feel like it's really easy for us just to kind of skim over. Because isn't this kind of stuff all in a day's work for Jesus? Miraculous healings, bringing the dead to life. It's what Jesus does. But there is something about this story that Luke wants us to pay attention to. We know that because, well, he's the only gospel writer to include this miraculous healing of him and the disciples gathering at the village gate of Nain. But starting there, from the very beginning of the story, we have to imagine that there are these two crowds converging. There's the crowd that's following Jesus, his disciples. And then there's the crowd that's a funeral procession on their way to bury a widow's dead son. Now, we might expect that Jesus and his crowd would stand off to the side a bit, kind of like when cars in a funeral procession, you know, yield the right of way, or in my grandfather's time, you would pull all the way over to the side of the road. But Jesus doesn't pull over to the side of the road, nor does he ask his disciples or the crowd that is with him to do so either. Jesus stops. He looks at the woman. He sees her in the midst of her grief. Here she is. Her only son is gone. That in and of itself, of course, is heartbreaking. But there's more to the story of a widow whose only son dies. It means that her safety net, her security, is completely gone. Any chance she has of living without great, immense financial struggle is gone. She's vulnerable. And Jesus knows this. He takes notice. And he's moved to compassion. With his touch, Jesus raises her son to life again. Because this is what Jesus does. Jesus, over and over again in the gospel stories, shows us how he moves towards the pain, towards death, to bring us life. So this week, as I was reflecting on this passage, I read a commentary by Christine Chacoin, who is a Presbyterian pastor in the Chicago area. Her words were so powerful to me. I thought about how I would rephrase them to preach them this morning, but I thought, no, her words need to stand alone, and you all need to hear them. This is the gospel. She writes that for those of us who hear this good news in our time, there is still more at stake than receiving God's mercy. and another sermon to be preached. If we are to follow the way of Jesus, then we will participate in the continuation of that mercy to others. This is what Jesus tells us, his disciples, to do. Not just to love God, but to be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. It's not enough to call him Lord, Lord. We are also to act on the words he tells us. What does it mean to be faithful to Jesus' word in this story? She asks. It means doing what Jesus did in his name, by his power. It means striding into the halls of power, especially where power has been corrupted. In the backroom deals of political alliances, in the whispered secrets of insider trading, in the places of greed and favors, nepotism and abuse. It means having our own eyes open in those places where justice should be accomplished, in the modern equivalent to the city gate, like the courtrooms and police stations and legislatures, where the poor are vulnerable to overloaded systems and inadequate resources. It means having our hearts moved with compassion in scenes where poverty and grief prevail. In the wake of private tragedy or natural disaster, in the silent ache of those left behind by addiction or poverty, in the invisible isolation of aging or mental illness or job loss. We may not be able to raise the dead in Jesus' name and return them to their mother's arms. However, to the extent that we can have compassion on the brokenhearted, seek justice for the vulnerable, and stand up to the powers and principalities, we have begun to fulfill the prophet's will for our lives. Blessed are we who are called to follow in his footsteps. As I read those words, I thought, yes, yes, that's it. That's the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's what it looks like to be a disciple, to follow in Jesus' footsteps wherever he goes. And then at the same time, I thought, oh, yep, that's the gospel. Because this biblical commentator and pastor is exactly right. We aren't able to raise the dead, but we are called each and every day to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to show compassion on the brokenhearted, to seek justice for the vulnerable, and stand up for the powers, to the powers and principalities. But we know that's a whole lot easier said than done. And so when someone in this world, in our everyday lives, leads the way, we do take notice. Many years ago, I had the honor of standing in a place that wasn't or didn't seem very honorable and amazing at the time. It was just this small, dark, dank basement room where a young boy began his training and would go on not to just become a world-renowned boxer, but to be a man who I would also learn lived his faith through his actions. So it was my very first work project. I know we have a lot of kids who are getting ready to do the same this summer. And the church I grew up in, the Presbyterian Church in Michigan, every year for spring break, we would head out to, of course, the warmer climate, the very glamorous Louisville, Kentucky. And there, we worked with African-American youth in an urban neighborhood known as Smoketown. It had earned this nickname, perhaps, because during the Civil War, the brick kilns were all in the area, and all the smoke would hang heavy in the air. But it could also have been a racial slur, since this neighborhood was the oldest black neighborhood in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And back in the early 1800s, a bunch of dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterians established the first African-American mission Sunday school that became to be known as the Presbyterian Community Center. And it served the youth in the area. It continues to this day. And it was in that building that a young boy by the name of Cassius Clay began his training, in that basement room where I was standing amid all of these moldy posters and boxing equipment. Now, we all know that Muhammad Ali, as the name he would take on, was a Muslim. So he wasn't walking the footsteps of Jesus when he chose to live out his faith and stand up for what he believed in. But like Christianity, at the heart of the Muslim faith is a commitment to compassion and peace and justice. And Ali gave up his heavyweight boxing title in deference to his religious principle of pacifism. And as many of you all may even remember, because he refused to be inducted into the military during the Vietnam War, Ali saw the suffering in Vietnam. And in 1976, he said, "Why should they ask me to put on a uniform and go 10,000 miles from home and drop bombs and bullets on brown people in Vietnam, while so-called Negro people in Louisville are treated like dogs and denied simple human rights?" Ali was at the prime of his career. He gave up his title and he did not box for 3 years competitively. How easy it would have been for him to just avoid all of the judgment, the criticism, the harsh words, to continue in this line of fame that his talent had brought about. But he made a choice. For him, it was a big choice. And for some of us, it is also a big choice. At other times, it's the smaller, little everyday choices. Because there's this powerful impulse within all of us to look away, to distance ourselves, to cast the blame, the judgment, and that impulse to turn away from where there is suffering and brokenness in the world, that force that keeps us bound to fear, that sin at work in our lives. And today's gospel reminds us that there is another way, that it is Jesus who frees us from our sin and gives us the courage to choose a different response. As he did for the widow of Nain, Jesus sees the pain, the loneliness, the suffering, our own frustrations and fears, and he is with us. And he responds over and over and over again with compassion and courage and invites us to do the same. The gospel truth is that when we follow in Jesus' footsteps and the footsteps of all of those walking the ways of compassion and justice, that is what brings the healing and wholeness that we all long for in our lives. That's where we find the life that Jesus promises. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, our communion liturgy can also be found in the green book, the hymnal binder that is in each of your pews. So I'll give you a moment to locate those. Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your condition and whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know that it is our host who teaches, who heals, and who welcomes. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. So lift up your hearts. Give thanks to God, for God is good. Holy Lord, everlasting God, you are a God of wonder and movement. Your spirit does not rest,
but transforms chaos into creation. You lifted the valleys and made low the mountains, but we ran down from our crooked paths of sin. And the prophets were sent to help us understand our brokenness, but we fled into the dark wilderness. So you prepared Jesus to come to us, so we might know the very nearness of your compassion and healing. Come to us in these moments, loving God, and pour your Spirit upon the bread and cup, that we might be drenched by your grace and peace. For great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true, and with people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who lived with us, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friends of sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by the people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remembering the Lord Jesus.
Pray, God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
O God, who call us from death to life, we give ourselves to you and to the church for all ages. We thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Indeed, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people, each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it, so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And so we break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the promises of new life made in him. At this time, would the communion servers please come forward? We'll give them a moment to get in place.
Let us celebrate the feast of God together. Please come forward as you are able for the sacrament of communion.
Thank you.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in the sacred meal. May we, in turn, open our lives to be bearers of alleluias, where we may journey and share our faith with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we gather together as the family of God around this table, we also bring to God our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. If you have a specific prayer you'd like to share aloud, you are welcome to do so. Raise your hand so an usher can see you over here. And please make sure the microphone stays close to your mouth so that we can hear what you have to say.
Jenny Barley, I ask for prayers for the family of Ann Rice. She's a neighbor of mine who, at 95, broke her leg, had surgery yesterday, and died before she came out of anesthesia. So prayers for her family.
Prayers for her.
Bill Bosley, I don't consider this doom and gloom, but yesterday Carol and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, boy.
Well, some of you may think, sit there and try to do the math and say, no, wait a minute, Carol can't be that old. Well, last year, during her youth group, the kids first thought our son David was her husband. Well, the truth is, when we were married, I was 27 and she was 15.
Blessings and many more, many more.
Janice Bilalovic. I'd just like to thank everyone for their prayers for my sister Gloria. She's now home, recovering. She's still got a long road ahead. She's very weak, but doing physical therapy and getting around finally.
Prayers, continued prayers for your sister Janice.
I'd like to lift up my sister Claire Walker, who fell, broke her hip, and had surgery yesterday. Thank you.
Prayers for your sister.
Sheree Barrett, I have a couple prayers. One is for my daughter, Dana. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook with her, but she's been dealing with an unknown illness, and they finally said that she had viral meningitis, which is something that you just has to run its course. So they're treating her symptoms, and we're just trying to get her through the end of the school year. And I spent the day with her yesterday at Chautauqua with her students, and she had a good day. The other prayer is for my coworker, Kate Gramlich Sinisu. Her daughter, Avery Sinisu, is battling a leukemia. She has relapsed for the second time, and she will be going into treatment in 5 weeks. So they're trying to cram in 5 weeks of summer. So prayers for her and her family.
Hi, Donna Schott. Prayers for a friend of my daughter-in-law whose 5-year-old was just diagnosed with leukemia, and she's at Children's Golisano Hospital. Prayers for them. And also a joy, my son and daughter-in-law just had their third, Mia Carol, a little girl. So she'll be joining her two brothers.
Great joy. Congratulations.
The Red Cross, Dale. I would like to... This is belated because I was away in North Carolina spending time with my first grandson, who was born on April 10th. But I just want to thank my GPC family for the expression of sympathy during the passing of my mom, Olga Wheeler, on April 14th. It meant a lot to me and my family.
Continued prayers, Red.
Sherry McFarland, I'd like to ask for prayers for the Ambergia-Guarino family. That's the family of the young man in the motorcycle accident on Manitou Road, and also for the drivers of the other cars. Thank you.
Thank you. And prayers this morning continue for Bill Wallens and the entire Wallens family as Bill's health continues to decline. They do ask that you respect their privacy, do offer lots of cards and prayers at this time. Also prayers for Ann Smith, who is at Highland Hospital with pneumonia. Continued prayers for her strength
and her healing. Also, prayers for a clergy colleague who's a pastor in Texas, a young woman, 50 years old, who suffered a fatal stroke this weekend. So prayers for her, her family, but also the whole entire congregation. Being Presbyterian, we're all connected. So prayers also with our children this morning. Prayers for an aunt who needs help walking. Prayers of joy for an aunt who was home for the from the hospital, for trips to Darien Lake, birthday parties, flea market finds, and baby cousins. And also we keep in prayer our children and their families and all of the teachers around us as the kids finish up their last few weeks of school. Those transitions can be filled with joy, but also difficult times. So we pray for all of them. Let us continue our time of prayer. Life swirls around us, O Lord. So many things are happening in our lives and in our neighborhoods, in our country, and in your world. We can be so easily distracted and overwhelmed by the needs and difficulties. Remind us again that you are with us, offering compassion, strength, courage, and hope. Help us to place our trust in you as we offer our prayers for healing and comfort this day. Place your healing hands on our hearts and spirits and encourage us to rise and be strong in hope for the needs of others. Enable us to be partners in ministry, peace, and justice in this world. Bring your light and power to us. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has blessed us with great abundance. Let us offer a portion of that abundance back to God as we celebrate this morning with the offering and a bit more pipes. Let's worship God.
God, we gather to thank you today for the easy conversation between old friends, for the quick smile of a child, for the warm look of hello from across the room, for the caring phone call about our illness, for the card sent to say just thinking of you, for the hymn book passed along, for the little things that say we matter. All this, O God, you planned in your compassion. Your church is special to us. Within it are people with so many different gifts. Thank you, God, for providing us with this place of belonging. In response, we bring our own gifts to use in your church. And as we do, we want to say how grateful we are to you that you have given us such friends. Out of gratitude, we give, for you have given us so much. Amen.
Almighty God, who is not without witness in every land and generation, we give you thanks today, especially for the faith and zeal of the Celtic Church, for Patrick, Columba, Bride, and all who have labored for Christ in Scotland. We honor the workers who kept faith in art and scholarship alive in dark centuries, and whose zeal for the gospel brought Jesus to the Picts and Scots. We celebrate the memory of bards and warriors, of poets and pipers, of deeds and valor, and of causes lost. We remember the countless common people throughout the ages in kitchen and field, marketplace and factory, classroom and home, who have lived the faith and the tradition of the Celtic Church, both in Scotland and around the world. And finally, we give thanks for all those who have gathered here today to carry on that witness into the ages to come. Teach us, Lord, to honor our heritage without forgetting our faults, to celebrate our heroes and ancestors without hating our neighbors, and above all, to remember you, the God of all, who calls us to love and joy and peace with all humanity. Almighty God, you have promised that in all places where you are remembered, you will meet your people to bless them. Now bless us and these tartans as symbols of our heritage, which we dedicate to you, and grant that people who wear them and the clans represented by them may behave justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
He said, friends, go in peace. Alleluia. Amen.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? door.
Said yourself.
What are you doing, you son?